Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Can we be upstanding? Let's be upstanding. We're going to pray. Thanks, Simone. If you guys just keep going. Presence is so thick in this place. Just open up your hands. Father, your spirit touched lives in the first service as we surrendered. Right in the get-go, we surrender. We surrender. Touch us, Holy Spirit. Use me this morning to bring the word. Holy Spirit, you bring the revelation. You bring the release. You bring the new. You bring the peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Say, I receive this for myself. And I receive it for my neighbor. In Jesus' neighbor. Amen. Amen. Grab a seat. Well, welcome to Pentecost. Thanks, Simone. That's awesome. You can jump up later and come and help me sound pretty. Pentecost Sunday. First one in 20 Joseph Street. Thank you. Yeah, let's get excited. And the 100th one as Pneuma Church. So Pneuma, for those of you who are visiting, is 100 years old this year. And so we have been celebrating Pentecost Sunday for 100 years. Double ones. Those of you who know me, I love numbers. It's very significant. But today we are here, and I'm excited about the word, which will continue from last week's word, where we started on discipleship. So are you ready? Those who are visiting us, you can listen to the last week's message. You just go onto our podcast if you need to find out more information about it. Talk to our team at the information booth afterwards, but it's pretty simple. Get on our website, go to messages, it'll be on there. Discipleship, the call to follow, was last week's message. We spoke about sonship. We spoke about an orphaned mentality, an orphaned spirit, and a sonship mentality or a sonship spirit. The scripture that we used last week was Mark 1, verses 16 to 20. And I'm just going to read 16 and 17, which says, as Jesus was walking along the shore of Lake Galilee, he noticed two brothers fishing, Simon and Andrew. He watched them as they were casting their nets into the sea and said to them, come, follow me. Very significant. And I will transform you into men who catch people instead of fish. Discipleship is about leaving. Come and follow means leave behind. Leaving behind, following, and being transformed by him in the process. Discipleship, we said last week, is about growing in your sonship. Now, that's not gender-based. Sonship is being a daughter of God or a son of God. Sonship. But discipleship, if we are honest with ourselves, the idea of being a disciple and the idea of making disciples can feel very, very intimidating. Very intimidating. But it is an instruction that Jesus gave us before he left. He said to the disciples, make disciples of all nations, of all nations. In this time, we ask this question, well, how do I follow Jesus consistently when I still mess up? Good point. How do I lead someone when I'm still figuring things out? Another good point. What if I say the wrong thing? Anybody else that? I have many times. What if I'm not bold enough or not good enough? You see, it becomes intimidating. But the good news is today that I want to share is you're not expected to do it alone. You've never been expected to do it alone. In fact, you can't do it alone. If you are doing it alone, you're actually bluffing yourself. You're actually missing the point. You're totally missing the point. You see, Jesus knew this. He knew this from the beginning. Jesus knew this, and that is why he sent us the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not just a power boost, but a Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is our helper. Holy Spirit is our guide and the very power that we need for this journey of discipleship, which is sons and daughters, being sons and daughters. Holy Spirit is not a superpower, people. He's not Batman. He's not Superman. He's not Spider-Man. He's not one of the Transformers. Holy Spirit is divine power that transforms. He is the power that transforms. He is unexplainable, yet uncontainable. And he is our helper. Unexplainable, uncontainable, power, and he is your and my helper. Boom. Ponder on that. Let's put a full stop on that. Get the team up and let's just continue worshiping. Because that in itself we can chew on for the next forever how long until Jesus comes and fetches us. Because our little brain cannot comprehend that. He is divine power and he is our helper. Including being sons and daughters of God. He helps us in being true sons and daughters. In other words, growing in our sonship. So the title of today's message, yes, it is Pentecost. So it's called Empowered to Follow the Spirit-Led Life. Empowered to Follow the Spirit-Led Life. Our main scripture, though, is not Acts 2, which talks about and on the day of Pentecost. It's not that scripture at all. I chose not to go there. I chose to use John 14. So if you've got your Bibles, get them out. We're going to be going through that, and we're going to be underlining from about verse 16 onwards. Why did you not choose Acts 2? It's Pentecost. Because we already know what he did back then. What we need to grasp and what we need to start walking in is what is he doing now? What is he doing now in your life, and what does he want to do in the future in you and through you? That is what we've got to get a grasp on. So we have to get to some kind of understanding, although he's uncontainable and indescribable. We have to come to what is the Holy Spirit's role? Very important. So John says this. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. Another in the Greek is allos. Allos, which means another of the same kind. The Amplified Bible, I love it because it always amplifies things, spells it out for me. It says, he's the counselor. He's a helper, he's an intercessor, he's an advocate, he's a strengthener, and standby. Standby. I see that as somebody who's standing by, ready to jump in when I need it. That is how good God is. But the things to note are this. Holy Spirit is not a lesser replacement. He is the same kind of helper as Jesus. He is equal in nature. He is equal in heart. He is equal in purpose. Holy Spirit is not a backup plan, people. He is the ongoing presence of Jesus in your life. He is the ongoing presence of Jesus in your life. Holy Spirit is God. The ongoing presence of God is in your life through the Holy Spirit. It's like Jesus wanting you and I to know this. If he was standing in front of you, he could say something along these lines. Holy Spirit will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. How comforting is that? How comforting is that?
So if we go on with our scripture, he says, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Forever is Greek, these three words that are on the board, which means into the age or for eternity. Now, where in scripture do we hear the words until the end of this age? Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even until the end of this age. How is Jesus with us? Through our helper, the Holy Spirit. So our Holy Spirit is to be with us forever. And forever means that he doesn't come and go. Doesn't come and go. He is with you. He comes to stay. You're not borrowing the Holy Spirit. You're hosting him forever. Everybody in this room, if you are a believer, you have given your life to Jesus. You've invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You have the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You are currently hosting him. And you will be hosting him forever until we put you 6 feet under the ground. Not soon. We've got lots of work to do. You are hosting him forever. And for your information, young adults, hear this. This is for you. He doesn't leave you when you mess up. He stays to lead you back. So it doesn't matter if you stuff up. He doesn't say, well, that's it. I've had enough of you. I'm going my way. You go your way. See you later. Nah, he sticks it out. So parents, listen to this. You may have a prodigal. Guess what? He may be in the pigsty. She may be in the pigsty, so to speak. But Holy Spirit is with him. You need to hear this. You need to hear this today. Peace, shalom on all of you, parents. You may not understand, JJ, how much I've stuffed up. I may not understand, and quite frankly, I don't want to understand. But the one who does matter to is Holy Spirit, and he's there. He's with you. He doesn't leave you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because the helper is with you forever. Forever. He stays to lead you back. Somebody needs to hear this today. So John 14, 16, 17 goes on. It says, and I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Verse 26, the helper. Here he identifies, Jesus identifies who the helper is. The helper, comma, Holy Spirit. Okay, so we know the helper is Holy Spirit. Jesus said it. Okay, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Double alls, double ones, double alls. So here are double alls right there. You're going, how am I going to learn all this stuff? How am I going to remember all that I've got to do? How am I going to cram it all in and walk that narrow road? Guess what? You don't have to. Young adults, you don't have to. Holy Spirit is your guide. Holy Spirit is your helper. Holy Spirit is with you. He is with you constantly. He is in every conversation. He is in every moment of uncertainty. He is in every opportunity that you face, be that a good opportunity or a bad opportunity. Can I just lift this burden of performance off of you today? Anybody want to lift that burden off? Okay, some of you. That's good. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all together. You see, God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary people that he transforms while they follow in him. Ordinary people. Any ordinary people in this room? Front row? Oh, there's more ordinary people in this service than there was in the first service. The rest of you, I don't know. We might have to talk from what planet, but anyway. Ordinary people. He uses ordinary people who he transforms as they follow him. The early disciples didn't have it all together. Newsflash. They were ordinary people. They were fishermen and tax collectors. They were skeptics, yet they became stronghold breakers. They became world changers, so much so that we read and teach about them to this very day. Ordinary people. You see, Jesus knew their potential. How did he know their potential? Because the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God knitted you in your mother's womb. That he wrote all the days of your life in his book before there was one. In other words, before you were born, took your first breath, screamed your lungs out, he'd already known about you and he'd already written your days in his book. Jesus knew that in these ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, skeptics, etc., that they had so much potential. But they could not do it by themselves. So what does he do? He asks the Father to send a helper. He stands in front of the disciples and says, I've asked the Father. He will send you a helper. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. The helper. Say the helper. The helper. Can I talk about the helper a little bit? The helper did not come on the day of Pentecost tiptoeing into the room. He didn't tiptoe. He also didn't come as a soft wind. He came as a mighty rushing wind. He came as a mighty rushing wind. Can you imagine we're in a prayer meeting, right? And then all of a sudden you are hearing a Boeing 747 that sounds like it's landing on this roof. Anybody going to be freaking out? I would be freaking out. Is the engine going to fall off? Are they going to crash into the building? What is going on? I'd be out those doors. So they're sitting in this room, in the upper room, and all of a sudden there's this sound like a roaring hurricane, a sound they say, which is like a Boeing 747 engine that's coming, and it's there, and all of a sudden things are happening. And on top of that, they've got these little things above their head called flames of fire. Anybody be freaked out then? Carol, I'd be running. But you know what? You know what? It was in that day. It was in that day that he came as a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, that Pentecost day, and the disciples were touched. The disciples, those that were gathered in the upper room, they were shaken to their core, never to be the same again. Never, ever to be the same again. He came in, he changed everything, and history was set. You and I are celebrating what our forefathers endured. Experience is a better word. Encountered way back then. I'm not going to bring it on. I actually prayed it. Lord, wouldn't it be good if on cue there was a rushing wind? On cue, there were little tongues of fire that appeared. God, can you not just do it? How cool would that be? Well, yeah, thanks, Lord. Remember, that was old. He's doing a new thing. Ooh, word, he's doing a new thing. But now I want to say this to you. That same Holy Spirit is still around today for you and me. Don't disqualify yourself. Friend, hear me. Don't disqualify yourself. You don't need to be perfect. Just willing and obedient. You know that our year is obedience. We hand out these armbands at the beginning of the year. Obedience. Follow means movement. It means being obedient. It means faith in action. Following Jesus is movement. Being obedient. Faith in action. Follow. Be obedient. It's not difficult. Discipleship is not difficult. Discipleship is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Becoming stronger as a son and a daughter is obedience to the Holy Spirit. And he will help you. He's the helper. He will help you in your obedience. How? By empowering you. That's what he does. Acts 1:8. But you will receive what? power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. The disciples were sent out. Before they were sent out, they were told to, whoa, what guy? Wait a bit. Go into the upper room, shut the doors, and you remain there. You remain there until the Holy Spirit comes. You remain there. You do not put your toe out. Why? Because Jesus knew that they needed power. They didn't just need enthusiasm. They did not just need head knowledge, but they needed the Holy Spirit power. And that word is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Say power. Power means miraculous power. Power means divine enablement. What am I saying? What I'm saying is you are divinely enabled to do what you're meant to do by God. Each one of you are divinely enabled. You can do what he wants you to do. I can't. It's too difficult. No, it's not. You're empowered. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by him. You are empowered by him. Empowered to do what? Live boldly. Empowered to do what? Walk boldly. Empowered to what? To make disciples of others, because you will receive power. His promise of the Holy Spirit filled the disciples with divine capacity to do what he had called them to do. And guess what? They were ordinary humans. Ordinary humans. Say to the person next to you, are you ordinary? Don't lie. You might find a tongue of fire above you. Ordinary humans. You know the disciples were ordinary people. Let's think about Peter. Remember Peter? Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. 3 years he walked with Jesus. Guess what? Peter even walked on the water. Now, let's stop by the first one. Can you imagine physically having Jesus there and walking with him? Peter had that opportunity. Then he goes, hey, Jesus, if that's you, let me get out of the boat. And Jesus says, come. And he steps out of the boat and he walks on the water. Peter. Everybody say Peter. That's the guy we're talking about, Peter. But guess what Peter does? Under pressure, he folds. And he does the most horrendous thing. I think it's the biggest thing ever to be done. He denies Jesus 3 times. He walks with him for 3 years and then denies him 3 times in a little short period. Come on. Talk about an ordinary person. But, everybody say but. But the power of the Holy Spirit comes at the day of Pentecost. It releases divine power. And it's not John, the most favored beloved. It's not Matthew, the tax collector. It is Peter that God uses. It's Peter that after that encounter steps up, steps out, and he preaches the first sermon. And guess what the fruit is? 3,000 people are added to the kingdom of God in one setting. That is like 10 times, 11 times this room. Not people, chairs. 3,000. It was Peter. But Peter was still Peter. You see, Peter was the denier. And Peter was just that ordinary bloke who denied Jesus. But what changed in Peter was the helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who brought dunamis, power. Jesus did not say, you'll try harder, Peter. He said, you will receive dunamis. You, each one of us, have received dunamis, that same divine explosive power, that same spirit-given power that raised Lazarus from the dead, that raised Jesus from the dead, that whacked the disciples on the day of Pentecost, that gathered in the upper room. He is the one that lives in you. He is the one that walks with you. He is the one that sleeps with you. He is the one that eats with you. He is the one that chats with you. He is the one that lingers with you. He is your helper. He is your helper. Jesus knew that his disciples, including you, including me, that we would require power for what? Power to speak when it's uncomfortable. Power to love when it's hard. Power to obey when it costs you something. Power to persevere, to get over that mountain that you're facing. And the good news is you have the power. You have the power. So I want to say this. Don't wait to feel ready. The Spirit gives you what you need to be ready in all seasons. He's your helper. He's with you. Trust when you take that step, He is with you. When you open your mouth, He will fill it. When you move, He will guide you. He will guide you. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit means living one's life in the power of the Spirit while being guided by the Spirit. Being in step means living in the power of the Spirit whilst being guided by the Spirit. In step. Let me tell you something. If you're dancing with a partner and you do these close dances, and you're not in step, you step on toes. When you're not in step with the Holy Spirit, finish the sentence. You step on toes. When this team is up here, they're not in sync with one another. Like if the drummer's over there and he's beating a beat and this guitar is beating a beat and Simone's doing her own thing here, and it would be horrible. That's like an orchestra so beautiful. It's how many instruments in sync. We need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Walking along the path that He lays. It's not a one-time event. It's continual. Following His movement. Obedience. Faith in action. So in other words, if you get a prompting to text somebody, you text them. Get a prompting to pray for a colleague, you pray for that colleague. If you get a prompting to buy the groceries of somebody in front of you at Aldi, do it. Last week, I just want you to know I'm not perfect. Don't always get it right. That's right, Maddie. Don't always get it right. Last week, I go to Woolies, early morning. It was freezing. It was -1. Get up my car. I had to buy coffee beans because there were no coffee beans in the office. I was coming to the office early. We needed coffee beans. Really important. Stop my car, Woolies. There's this homeless guy lying there in front of Woolies. He's lying with his face facing the window. His back is open like his shirt's pulled up. He's got shorts on, no shoes. He's got his jacket, little jacket, half pulled over him, but you can see through whatever the night, the morning. You know, it was half off of him. And I was convicted. I was like, oh, wow. And a thought drops into my spirit. Maybe get him a blanket. I walk into Woolies, no kidding. And look to the right. Guess what's on the wall? Blankets. I am not proud to let you know I didn't buy a blanket. I try to reason it away. Well, I actually did. I walked up and down the aisles. I knew where the coffee was. I could have gone straight there. But I walked up and down the aisles trying to reason it away. Like, well, if I buy him a blanket, then I'm actually going to encourage him to continue sleeping here. And it's in front of Woolies. And hold on. Is that God or is that me and the enemy? That's the enemy. That prompting was to buy him a blanket. I should have just gone and bought a blanket, walked out, covered him. But I didn't. I even got in the car, and where I had parked, if I looked across like that, I saw him. I drove away. I missed an opportunity. But has Holy Spirit now left me? He's there to guide me and lead me. Will I miss another opportunity? No. We're going to do a blanket drive. You're the first people to hear this. Shelly-Ann hasn't even heard this yet. Where are you, Shells? I'm sitting here after the service. One of our own comes down the aisle. Pastor JJ, I have a not-for-profit. He points to his jacket. Blanket 300. I go, God, you are funny. You are so funny. In your face, JJ. In your face. Blanket 300. He's like, you want to go out with me? Anytime. Just let me know. I'm going, let's do that. But tell me more. And he tells me what they gather blankets. They buy blankets and distribute them. Give food. I'm thinking, how can we get involved? Oh, no, East can get involved. How come you haven't told us about this? He goes, I don't know. But the prompting is right now. I'm going, you reckon? You reckon? Okay. But that's it. Holy Spirit didn't leave me. He's with me. He created another opportunity. Actually, a bigger opportunity. It's not going to be one blanket. And we're all going to get involved. We're all going to get involved. Discipleship isn't difficult. It's obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's just obedience to the Holy Spirit. So here's your practical challenge for the week. Morning surrender. In the morning, take a photo of this. Ask Holy Spirit. I give you my day. Team can join me now. That'll be great. Midday check-in. At lunchtime, before you sit and have your lunch, ask this question. What are you saying right now, Holy Spirit? And then in the evening when you climb into bed, you ask this question. Where did I follow you today? Where did I hesitate? Guess what I got that night that I was at Woolies? You hesitated at Woolworths. I'm going, yeah, oh no, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's your challenge. That's your challenge for this week. I want to pray. I want us to pray for everybody in this room, those who want to be prayed for. We're at Pentecost. You know you have a helper. You know you have a helper. You can never deny after today's message that you have a helper. Because I've made it very clear, giving you scripture. You can't go to Jesus and go, I didn't know. He'll go, uh-uh. Hold on, let me show you. JJ preached it on the 8th of June, 2025. But you need infusion. You need the infilling. You need to be refilled. You need to be empowered afresh. The Holy Spirit doesn't say it's a once-off. I don't go to the fuel, to the garage, and I put fuel in my car, and then I drive forever. I've got to stop constantly. It's the same deal with Holy Spirit. But He's with us. Yes, He is. But you know what? I've got to come and say, just fill me again. Just fill me with your passion, with your fire. Just fill me with your love for those homeless people. Just fill me, Lord God, for my neighbors, for my colleague. Just fill me. That's an everyday thing. Help me, Holy Spirit, with the struggles that I have. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's infilling. It's a constant thing. Others of us need to just surrender. Not partially. We partially surrendered. No. Today is a full surrender. A full surrender. So, going to get the team to sing the first bit of the song. And then there's a couple of people I just want to point out. We're going to go over. Hope you don't mind. But I really don't want people moving around because of the simple reason that God is in this place. First service, I had an Asian lady standing over here. I broke off generational curses as I prayed for. By the way, we prayed for all our seniors. We only got as far as our seniors in the first service. That's what Holy Spirit told me at 2 o'clock this morning. This Asian lady was standing over here. I broke off generational curses. And as I did, asked the team that were around, her hands were just filled with gold dust. I'm not kidding you. Gold dust. Her hands just went gold. Then God gave me a word that she will be a poverty breaker in her generation and even in our culture. Poverty breaker. He didn't stop there. was then praying for somebody else, one of our team. His hand was just filled with oil, which another lady down the front, her hands were just filled with oil. All of a sudden, they just went wet with oil, a thick oil. Then the team, somebody on team. Then another team person. I called some of our team over. I said, come look here. Just gold us. All right, Simone? Simone saw it. God wants to do that. That's the God that we've got in this house. Why gold us? Because he's got to manifest somehow. He's a God of signs and wonders. But I don't believe in it. I saw it. She saw it. He saw it. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.